everyone, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Leslie Orozco with OI Glass, and this is kind of our first kickoff podcast. And it's really exciting because we're actually doing this in honor of Global Recycling Day, which is March 18th. And what better person to talk about recycling than our Global Vice President of Sustainability for OI, and that is Jim Nordmeyer. Jim, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Leslie, and welcome to our new listeners with what we hope to be an ongoing series of podcasts.
Yeah, so tell us first, Jim, a little bit of background before we jump into specifics around recycling, particularly glass recycling. Tell us, you know, your story is kind of interesting of how you decided to come and work for OI, and then if you can give us a little background on the company itself.
Sure. So I joined OI in 2006, and I joined to run the North American supply chain. And that was after a long career in chemicals and plastics. And the opportunity came at the right moment for me to join OI and to join the glass industry. While chemicals and plastics was good to me, it provided for my family over many years. But in the end, I really didn't like what I was doing to the environment and some of the polymers we were making, while life-saving and used in different applications, had some negative effects and negative attributes to it. So I was looking to make a change, and this opportunity at OI came up, and I've never looked back. And I've now finally, I shouldn't say finally, but here in 2016, when I was asked to take this look at what does sustainability mean for OI, it was like the dream job. We cover the entire food and beverage industry. So, yes, many people associate glass containers with beer and the beer industry, those nice round brown beer bottles, but they come in green, they come in clear, they come as food jars, salsa jars, wine, spirits containers, candle jars. There is a whole plethora of potential applications for glass and glass containers, and that is our core business. We're operating globally. We have 78 facilities that we operate around the world, and we're proud to be the largest glass maker and the most progressive glass maker.
Jim, about Global Recycling Day, let's all agree, right? Recycling anything is good. It's good for the environment. It's good for future generations. And you can recycle things from car batteries to mattresses to electronics to, there's a lot you can recycle, right? But why is it, so important for sustainability?
Well, for sustainability, Leslie, it's recycling, and recycling of all types is important, right? We've only got one Earth, right? And we got to take care of it. We got to take care of Mother Earth, and if we do, it'll be here for future generations. And that's really important to me. So, doing the right things and recycling all those materials that you just mentioned, be it a car battery or your cell phone or your appliances when they reach end of life, and televisions, and as technology changes, the proper disposal and recycling of those are so important. And every day is Recycling Day. It's not just today on March 18th as Global Recycling Day. So, and because when we recycle, there's an opportunity to reuse those components either into the same application as we do for glass. A glass container becomes another glass container 30 days later, back on the shelf, carrying one of those food or beverage products that we love. Where take a cell phone or something, it can be disassembled and components of it can be recycled to make new cell phones. It keeps things in the economy. It's an economic engine of the economy. It's just important that we look at ourselves and we look at what we do every day and the things that we can individually do to contribute to the longevity of this planet.
It's interesting, while we all agree it's the right thing to do, I guess the question is, people find it confusing and a lot of complexity depending on where you live, and that could be by country, state, municipality. So can you talk to the challenges or the complexities around recycling?
Sure. If we look at the components that we use today, the types of things we use today, they're made up of multiple materials. there are very few things made of a single material. You might say a glass container is one of those things. Now, one could argue, but oh, it also has a paper label or a plastic label, and it has a metal closure or a plastic closure. Yes, that's true, but functionally, it's almost 100% a single material. Those are easier to recycle than these materials that are made up of multi-components, right? Whether it's a multi-layer film, a multi-layer container that is made up of different substrates. Those are very hard to recycle back into themselves. You got to really search for alternate applications. And, of course, you know, those items, as we know today, there are, you know, there's a good, a better, and a best way to recycle. You know, good is the fact that we're recycling, the fact that we take the time to do, you know, the right thing and get it into a container. And when I say take the time, take, you know, 30 seconds, take a minute and really think about what should I do with this component or this container, or this box, whatever it is that I have in my hand, and how should I properly recycle it? Because, you know, if we think, ah, it's convenient, I throw it all in the one bin, I'm recycling. Well, yes and no. You know, today's average in a single-stream recycling system is 30% non-recyclables. So we just pass the problem on to another link in the chain. And by passing that problem on, we diminish the value of the things that are truly recyclable, and we increase the cost to recycle.
Why don't we see more standardization to help change that behavior, or actually the outcomes of where our recyclables are going?
It depends on what part of the world that you're looking at. If I take Europe as an example, you might consider them one of the gold standards, right? They have, because recycling is legislated to some degree. There are fines or fees that you have to pay if you don't recycle properly. And they have the infrastructure and the population density that makes it very economical and very easy for people to recycle their materials in individual type collection systems. Versus other jurisdictions, use the United States as an example, vast area, large population, want to collect as much as possible, use our natural resources as efficiently as possible. I make it convenient for the consumer, throw it in one bin, roll it to the curb. Well, it's that one bin that, yes, I feel like I'm recycling, but if I put everything in that bin, recyclables and non-recyclables, I contaminate the entire bin, and I contaminate the materials that really have value in that bin for everybody. So my recovery rates drop significantly when I do that. While I might be collecting a lot of tons, what really gets recycled is a lot less. So, you know, that's a good system. A better system is maybe drop-off collection, but then you run into participation rates. Mm-hmm. You get back to that convenience factor. Statistics would show you if people have to go more than 50 meters, a little over 50 yards, to recycle something, they won't do it.
Hmm.
Right? So when we have these drop-off centers and convenience centers and centers for hard-to-recycle materials, those who use those are really the, you know, the gold standard recyclers.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in it. They wash their containers. They sort their materials. They, you know, bundle up their old newsprint, assuming they still read a newspaper. They do things like that because that's how they were raised. That's how they were trained to do things. But, and you know, that's better because you get cleaner streams and you get higher recovery values out of those streams. But proven time and time again, some of the best way is multi-stream recycling. And then really when I describe Europe, that's what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
is multi-stream recycling, where each one of those high value or valuable recyclables, things that are instantly and easily recycled, like a glass container, are collected separately, which reduces the overall cost of the system, keeps those materials working in that economy that I spoke of earlier. It's an economic engine for municipalities. It's an economic engine for the industries that operate in that region.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, especially in the United States, we're seeing a lot of municipalities kind of do away with their glass curbside recycling. They're not accepting it anymore.
Yeah, we've seen that. It's been happening, you know, in different pockets in different jurisdictions across the United States in recent years. And if you maybe back it up to the defining event that started this whole groundswell of activity and really looking at what is recycling and what should be recycled in the United States, I would offer that defining event was the China National Sword Policy, where China basically said, we're no longer going to be your dumping ground for your recyclables. While they were taking those recyclables for many, many years and were able to reclaim them, make new boxes, make new articles, whatever it was, and ship them back, they've raised their standards, right? Of course, they've also have their own recyclables to take care of now. So they raise their standards, plus, you know, they have an in-country supply. So they put up the stop sign and said, we don't want your recyclables unless they are very clean. Well, that because we had years of people taking poor materials, no one made an investment. No one made the investment to clean things up. So now many municipalities and material recovery facilities are faced with the challenge of, what do I do now, right? I have no outlet for these recyclables. Oh, contamination is my big issue. I got to solve my contamination problem. I can do it one of two ways. Perhaps there's more. One way is to invest in the material recovery facility to do a better job of sorting. Another way is to reduce the amount of contaminants that are collected in that bin or collected in the recycling system. And often glass is pointed to as a contaminant. Well, I would offer that all the materials are contaminated in that bin, and it becomes a sorting technology issue, or it becomes a collection issue. Mm-hmm. So I believe it's time that we consider, particularly in the United States, consider alternate forms of collection, going back to good, better, best, right? Mm-hmm. Good that I'm recycling, recovery rates are low, because I've contaminated when I collect it all together. Drop off, better streams, less participation.
Mm-hmm. Non-facts that we hear a lot about that we want to educate people so they're better informed.
Sure. I think the first myth that I would offer to dispel is there are no end markets for glass, right? Not true. Right. There are end markets for glass. There are multiple end markets for glass. And if I speak specifically of container glass, it is one of the few infinitely recyclable materials. It doesn't need anything else to be made into another glass container to serve another purpose, to deliver another product to the store shelf, or even to remain as whole and be reused a number of times. It is the only material that is in small format, single serve, that can make that statement. So there are end markets for glass, whether it be back into a glass container, whether it be to the fiberglass industry to make insulation products to use in our homes and buildings that conserve energy, whether it's heating or cooling energy. It can be reused as an abrasive material to remove rust or paint from structures to be repainted. And it's more environmentally friendly than some materials that are being used in those applications today. It can be used as filtration media. There are plenty of applications, Leslie. We haven't even pushed the limits in the glass container industry yet. I mean, national recycling rates in the United States are 34%. The average content of a glass container in the United States at somewhere between 25 and 30%, let's say, of post-consumer recycled content. We have operations, not only us, but other glass container manufacturers have operations as high as 90% post-consumer recycled content. We know it's there. It's a matter of collecting it efficiently, having a good stream, cleaning it, sorting it, and getting it back into our furnaces in a very cost-effective manner. So.
Well, and the importance of using that recycled glass in making new glass containers is the fact that it then lowers the emissions and the heat needed or the energy needed to heat the molten glass.
That's right. I mean, you know, once you've melted sand, soda ash, and limestone and formed a glass container, you don't need as much energy to remelt that piece of glass. And once you, so you have a lower energy use, a lower greenhouse gas emission, a lower use of natural resources. For every ton of remelted glass, recycled glass that is used in a furnace, I save 1.2 tons of raw materials. So that's 1.2 tons of natural resources that I'm not having to mine or use. I'm creating longevity for this one planet that we have. So, you know, there's a lot of positive attributes, and it's a matter of, you know, educating the consumer. Part of what we're doing with this podcast is educating consumers on some of these myths. I mean, another myth that we hear, and look, it's not unique to glass, that it's cheaper to make glass containers from virgin material than it is from recycled content. And yes, I can say that for plastics, I can say that for aluminum, I can say that for glass, I can say that for, you know, a lot of different materials. Because of energy prices or something, there is always a factor that may make that statement true. But this is about, you know, keeping a material in an economy. It's really embracing the circular economy principles of let's reduce our need for new materials and use it. And once I have used that material, can I repurpose it into another application? If I can't repurpose it, can I recycle it? And if I, you know, once I recycle it, if I can't recycle it, was it made from renewable sources? You know, so glass checks the box. It can check the box on reducing the need by using, you know, returnable, refillable glass. It can check the box by recycling it because I use less raw materials. I've reduced my need for natural resources. I can check the box for reuse, as I mentioned earlier. It is one of the few smaller format containers that can be returned, cleaned, and refilled many, many times. I mean, I've seen data as high as 80 times before it's taken out of circulation. And when it does come out of circulation, it is infinitely recyclable. It checks the box.
You know, in recognition of Global Recycling Day, the theme is recycling heroes. In your travels, can you give us one or two examples of either a business or a person or an organization that you feel kind of encompasses what this day is about?
Sure. I mean, recycling heroes. There's a long list,
yeah.
Leslie, and I won't do it justice on this podcast. But, you know, one that jumps to front of mind for me is the work that I was personally involved with the Pennsylvania Resources Council. So it's in the state of Pennsylvania, here in the United States. It was very focused on the city of Pittsburgh. And it came out of, you know, the Pennsylvania Resources Council have always been an advocate for recycling. I saw them really switch into high gear when the waste hauler servicing the city of Pittsburgh said they were no longer going to accept glass. In a matter of weeks, and I want to say not even a handful of weeks, they put into motion pop-up, drop-off recycling for glass containers in the area surrounding Pittsburgh. That program's been in existence for a year now, and it has been wildly successful. You know, when cars are lined up on a Saturday morning at a pop-up drop-off recycling center that says that there is a need. People want to recycle. They want to recycle those materials that they know that have been, and particularly true for glass, one of the original recycled materials. It's been recycled since the beginning of time. So, you know, Justin Stockdale and his staff at the Pennsylvania Resources Council in Pittsburgh just sprung into action. They made it happen. They brought together stakeholders from the community, a recycler, us as a glass container producer. We all pitched in, rolled up our sleeves, made it happen. But it wouldn't have happened without his leadership.
That's awesome. There's one example.
In Europe, it happens every day in every little city in Europe, right? They are out there after their residents and constituents to recycle and to recycle properly. The work that FEVE has done, and FEVE has, they call it the P90 group. The P90 is to get collection rates up to 90% for glass in Europe. They're at 75% right now. But that little group within FEVE, you know, they are, you know, they're almost like guerrilla warfare. Perhaps not the right description. They come up with a campaign, and one that comes to mind is recently as they ran us in supermarkets, and as people were checking out, and, you know, your jar of red sauce or your bottle of wine or whatever was scanned that was packaged in glass, a video came up on the checkout video from a dolphin thanking you for purchasing products in glass. And because that glass wasn't going to end up in an ocean. And if it did end up in the ocean, it wasn't something they were going to eat or ingest and have, you know, negative effects from. So it's those grassroots campaigns, almost guerrilla warfare in certain, you know, certain municipalities or venues that get the message out and get the message out in a fun way.
Yeah.
So
get your attention.
There's two. It really gets your attention about the impact that you personally can make.
Yeah. And besides the fact that glass packaging is 100% and infinitely recyclable, it, you know, the product you get inside, it retains its integrity and its quality. But I'm telling you, on a hot day, there is nothing like drinking a soft drink out of a cold bottle. You know, it just doesn't compare, right? It tastes the best.
Yeah, it tastes the best. I hear that, you know, time and time again. There's nothing, you know, like a, you know, whether it's a bottled water or a soft drink or even an adult beverage on a hot day in a nice cold glass container. Yeah. So
I totally agree. So really, Jim, thanks for your time, and cheers to glass and cheers to global recycling. Treat Global Recycling Day as an everyday behavior. So thank you for listening.